Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A few years ago, GoPro entertained the idea of starting a television channel featuring videos using its groundbreaking cameras. Financial crisis forced the company to halt that initiative, and now GoPro is committed to make that channel happen this year. You'll learn how and when through City 9 President Eric Opeka and Roundtable Entertainment co-founder Griffin Gemmelt. They join me next. Also ahead, Bill Maher brings overtime to CNN, Starz sets up more Power Book 2, our classic trivia question, and losing game show contestants get rewarded. Really, that's something I'd like to see. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thanks to you and you and especially you out there for joining us on this Monday afternoon. First of 3 episodes we're doing this week and maybe a 4th. We'll explain a little later on this half hour. 50 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, 4th or 5th consecutive day of 50 degrees or more. We are expecting the temperature to go into the near freeze zone. We're talking the upper 30s, low 40s the next few days. And then on Saturday, go around 20 degrees, then bounce back up from there. Happy you're with us. We have some wonderful guests coming away over the course of the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just interact by phone. And the way you do that, you pick up the phone and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room in business for you, too. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you're interactive with our guests. And while the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune-in screen, follow the instructions, and other things live with you. Our executives from Cinedigm and Roundtable Entertainment talk the GoPro channel from different locations, including California IA, after these news notes. Many fans of Bill Maher's Real Time series know that after each episode of his long-running HBO series wraps up, he continues his weekly panel segment live online. Well, as of this Friday, Maher's Overtime online presentation, it's called Overtime, will move to CNN at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. CNN will carry Overtime for a half hour and keep it once a week. Starz will keep Power Book 2 going into 2024, renewing this franchise spinoff series for a 4th season. Starz made the call in advance of launching Season 3 March 17th. Production of next year's episodes is happening this week in New York, with Michael Ealy on board as head of the city's police department's drug task force. Now quickies, Estrella TV will premiere a weekly early evening good news segment called Buenas Noticias, that is good news in Espanol, Sunday night. Anchor person Abel Alvarez will host the magazine format program, presenting Spanish-language coverage of positive developments nationwide and across Latin America. And Will Packer produced series Put a Ring on It begins a new season March 17th on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live, the president and chief strategy officer of Cinedigm, one of the major makers of original channels for smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. He's been on the show before. Great to have him back, Eric Opeka. Eric, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
And Eric, where are you calling from today?
I am in beautiful Rochester, New York.
It is. Home of Eastman Kodak and other great organizations for many, many years. So you're in a super area of upstate New York. And joining both of us from Redwood, California, is the co-founder of Roundtable Entertainment, which is joining Cinedigm in partnership on this upcoming GoPro channel, Griffin Gemmelt. Griffin, good to have you.
Thanks so much for having us on. I'm excited. What a great opportunity to talk about GoPro.
Well, let's do it. And Eric, we'll start with you. When did GoPro decide, let's do this channel again, and how and when will it show up?
Well, Roundtable and Cinedigm have been, working together since their launch in January of last year, and we've really been looking for great brands and properties to collaborate on. As you know, we have 30 different channels, and we've had the most success with really strong consumer-facing brands. So when Griffin approached with the idea of doing GoPro, I thought it was a no-brainer because it fits our paradigm. And beyond that, I think as a company that's focused on enthusiast audiences, I can't think of a more enthusiast audience than the action sports community. So I think this is it's a really great one for us.
Mm-hmm. Griffin, how did you and GoPro hook up?
Gosh, it's a long story, but I'll make it fairly short. Back when GoPro was looking to start a subscription video on demand product, they hired a whole bunch of people from Hulu, and I used to work at Hulu back in the early 2010s. Charlotte Coe and another gentleman named John Cohen went over there, and they asked me to consult on the launch of an SVOD network. I consulted, helped them put together their business plan, but they had changed their mind at that time, even though they'd commissioned a whole bunch of work. I kept in contact with them over the course of time, and I was able to talk to them about some of their new advances and a whole bunch of their catalog. And as we continued to talk, fast channels became more and more prevalent in the marketplace, and they felt that this would be the right time to move forward. When I told them, there are certain things that Roundtable can do on the production side, but even more importantly, when we have a partner like Cinedigm that knows the ins and outs of on-channel marketing, has operations down to a T, understands programming and distribution like nobody else, they were sold on the opportunity to work with Cinedigm and Roundtable probably midsummer, but it takes a little while at times to get the I's dotted and the T's crossed. So we're able to wrap this up just by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. So that's the plan, Eric, is to have the network up and running on Cinedigm and other places by year's end?
Yeah, I think we'll be, we're still working out the details, but we think, mid-year, peak outdoor activity period probably is the time frame, but obviously we want to also make sure we do it right, so there's flexibility on the timing.
Mm-hmm. Staying with you, Eric, how much content is out there using GoPro cameras that's suitable for this service? It sounds like you want to be a service that is carrying mostly action sports, land, sea, air, but you also want to carry nature programming, other lifestyle programming. How do you see the format working out?
Yeah, and I'll let Griffin dig into the more specifics on the specifics on the content, since that's really his bread and butter. But I look at it and say, for any for this brand in particular, authentic content created by users, is going to be a big component of this. Obviously, it needs to be, we think this is a big, 40-foot, big screen TV experience, which means, some production value. So it's not just, a string of clips. These are going to be shows. I think licensing content that fits the brand and bring it onto the channel, and then obviously producing original programming as well. All of those factors combined will be sort of the central thesis around what we'd like to see out of the channel. And Griffin can probably give you more details on that sort of specific game plan.
Sure.
And we'll get to those details in a moment. We're talking about the GoPro channel, which expects to launch between mid-year and end of year on Cinedigm. It's a project between Cinedigm, GoPro, and Roundtable Entertainment. And we've got, from Cinedigm, the President Chief Strategy Officer, Eric Opeka, and from Roundtable Entertainment, co-founder Griffin Gimelick. And they're both with us live. Eric from Rochester, New York, upstate New York, and Griffin from Redwood, California. So we have an East-West connection happening your way this afternoon live on Tomorrow Be Televised. Somehow I'm with you from the New York side of the field. That's New Weber, York, where it is 50 degrees at the top of the hour. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes that we plan to do for sure this week, and we may have a fourth. We'll tell you about that a little later on this half hour. Our next episode is tomorrow at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, And we'll have another interesting collaboration to tell you about. It's one involving one of the top producers of unscripted television, Taylor Nall, whose work includes Chopped on the Food Network, the popular GSN game show America Says, and other things. Dave Nall will be talking about it. He is the co-founder and owner with Clive Keller. Both have been on our program before. And we'll also speak with the people they're collaborating with, Wrigley Media Group. You may know them from the popular fast-rising courtroom show Relative Justice that's seen in daytime syndication. Well, they are now working with Telenol to create more original programming in Kentucky. And in fact, one of Wrigley's goals, Wrigley Media Group, is to make Kentucky a major new television production state. They're in fact working on new studios in that state. Chief Creative Officer Russ Babbitt will be joining us for that. That's all coming up on Tuesday, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televised. So, Griffin, how do you see the format of GrowPo Channel shaping up?
I see a whole bunch of different blocks of programming. So Eric was great in explaining that with the type of equipment that GoPro uses, that it's going to be very focused on high definition and 4K. We're going to go and make blocks of programming in their key areas. People who snowboard, the big mountain bike adventures. But for the launch, we're really going to focus on diving and snorkeling, surfing, and motocross because they have a really good opportunity there. What we like about it is to be able to cross-promote our programs with some of the social media that GoPro has. They have 11 million people on Facebook and almost 10.5 on YouTube. But it's that programming that starts off that might be partly short form that allows us to make our half-hour and hour-long TV shows. And we're not just going to stop at action sports. There's a whole bunch of great nature. There's some fantastic travel, and they have some great award shows that are all going to be part of our programming strategy.
Do you see a role for scripted television at all with this service, especially in the areas of like nature programming or travel programming? It's been a long time, for example, since we have seen, for example, shows along the lines of Flipper or Gentle Ben or Cowboy in Africa or the shows that Ivan Torres used to do for many years on broadcast television, Sea Hunt, things like that could easily use GoPro cameras.
So we're going to explore anything that tells a great story. On the scripted side, it's a little bit more unique to use their content in a scripted format, although they were able to successfully do it with Point Break, the second film put out by Warner Brothers. We want to make sure that we're going to tell great stories, and as we work with our partners at GoPro and with Cinedime, we'll explore those, but we don't have one on the drawing board yet. We're just about to start taking some scripts, and we have a great scripted division run by John Baldecki here that will be moving things forward. But we're really going to start the launch on our unscripted format and then some of the stuff that GoPro does on their calendar trail, including all the different seasons and sports that pop up during the year.
Mm-hmm. Eric, do you see this initially as a linear, fast channel type service, or do you see it being on demand off the bat? Or is there possibly that down the road you could have really two channels, one linear and one that's like more, lots of content that's available on demand anytime?
Yeah, well, I think we're focused on fast at the start. But, I think as you'll start to see, all of these fast platforms are really starting to build out on-demand capabilities. It makes a lot of sense for these platforms to do that. A lot of them, when they launched, were really clones of cable program guides where, you could see what was on, you could choose the channel, but you couldn't interact with anything in the guide. I think you'll see in the future most of these guides are going to become far more interactive, where if you land on the GoPro channel and it's surfing content, but you're really into skiing, but you see skiing coming up in an hour, you can click on it and find out if you can start watching it on demand or if you have to wait for a live show. So I think I think that's how we'll probably get into on demand pretty quickly. But, clearly, curating and collating all this content up on an on-demand platform will be important down the road as well.
Mm-hmm. Griffin, given that this is going to be linear, do you see, for example, let's say Monday nights are devoted to X subject, Tuesday night, this subject. Wednesday night, or let's say weekend afternoon, Saturday afternoon is this, Sunday afternoon is this, early evening. How do you see the format playing out in terms of what people will see at what times?
What a great question. So like any network, what we're going to do is determine what our blocks of programming are, and we're going to make it a tune-in necessity for people, similar to the starting with the old broadcast model where they had comedy blocks, news blocks, et cetera. We'll be doing something very similar to that, but we'll also be testing our formats and testing our timeline. So the consumers are going to tell us how they're going to want to watch this content on the linear side, meaning that if we're programming our surfing for 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning and they aren't there because they're already all out in the water, we might adjust that block to later on in the day. We're going to be very savvy out of the gate and use the data that we know so far about what consumers look to watch and when they like to watch it. It's fairly easy to use some of the broadcasting background, whether that's stuff from the NFL, NHL, or golf. And we'll start in that manner, but we'll have some really great varied programming that people will want to tune in for most of the time. You are right, though, in the fact that it will definitely be block programming, and that block programming will be by key verticals. We really think that based on some of their consumption from their younger viewers that the action sports will be first, but we were highly surprised at how big they were on the nature side and on the travel side, and we'll be sprinkling those in probably in the same time that others are tuning in the news. Thanks for that question.
Mm-hmm. Griffin, staying with you, what's been the reaction so far since the announcement of this from the production community that uses GoPro? Have you heard from production companies or other or independent producers who use the technology in a big way that they want to be part of this?
We've already heard from a dozen people, and I didn't even realize I was that easy to find. So that kind of took me by surprise. A lot of the production companies out there are using the new GoPros and the GoPro 11 technology, and more often than not, they've already been using it in feature films that aren't necessarily GoPro sponsored or even sports backed. We did a show called Down to Earth with Zac Efron that went over the terrain for a whole bunch of products that when we were in the Netflix platform. We've had people like Nestle Company and many others reaching out to talk to us about how they might incorporate GoPro video into their productions a little bit more, and if there is an opportunity for us to license it and program it on their behalf. We'll be taking those pitches very, very seriously as we continue to build out our content strategy. And if it's something that is right on our demographic and adjacent, I can't imagine us not looking to make sure that that place had a great home. Like I said, we're looking for great stories and great-looking video, and GoPro is going to give us that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And on the advertising side, Eric, what kind of nibbles are there from that community toward being part of this?
Well, I think, as we expand our direct ad sales team, we've made three additional hires over the last few months to that team alone. We're really starting to get a lot of interest from parties, especially as an enthusiast company. Sports or outdoor segments really continue to command a lot of advertiser interest, even in, what is considered to be, a slightly down economy for advertising. Those remain robust and strong. Our platform partners, advertisers, are all really excited about this concept. Once again, it goes back to a brand that has a lot of trust in the marketplace, which is also important, brand safe content. So, all in all, very, very good reception from brands and partners.
What else is new to come in 2023 from both of these organizations, Citadyne and Roundtable Entertainment? We're going to find out next. We've got the key people in store for you this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Citadyne President Chief Strategy Officer Eric Opeka joining us live from Rochester, New York, And Rip M. Gavelic, he is the co-founder of Roundtable Entertainment. He joins us live from Redwood, California. And they're both with us this half hour on Tawabi Televised. Happy you're starting your week off with us, the Promo TV's current and future. Sound out with you live from New York. 51 degrees now as we get near the bottom of the hour. And if you have a question or comment on many minutes with both of our guests, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We are now talking with someone about the possibility of having an Emmy and Peabody Award winner and Oscar nominee on this program Wednesday to kick off February. That would be Wednesday, February 1st. If it happens, it would be a late morning episode that would run at 11 a.m. Eastern. That would be 8 a.m. Pacific time. We hope by the end of this episode to find out if we're set to go. If we are, we'll let you know tomorrow. Either way, we'll let you know tomorrow. So keep your fingers crossed, because this is a very, very special guest who has a new television series coming your way next month. So stay tuned for details about that one way or the other tomorrow on Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And coming up, by the way, in our next half hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week, and we have our latest edition of Something I'd Like to See. Are you angry that losing game show contestants on primetime game shows walk away with nothing? I am too. And something I'd like to see is these contestants get rewarded. I'll explain in our next half hour. Eric, it looks like Cinedine is on a roll, being with a channel empire all its own. What else do we expect to see from your organization besides the launch of the GoPro channel? What other networks are in the hopper?
Sure. Well, you know, as I think I mentioned to you the last time I was on, you know, we're going to continue to look for, big branded channels. You know, we're making a pretty concerted push into the news segment. So keep an eye out for some developments on that front. We are also really excited and working hard to expand our new general entertainment service called Cineverse. On the Cineverse side, we're really looking to build the Spotify of streaming. The general premise around this service is that as the major services continue to drop content, pare down, cut the investment they've made in original programming as they tighten their belts, they're also reducing catalog programming, which is becoming increasingly hard for consumers to find the movies and shows they care about. So our goal is really to build the platform that houses, if it's not on the top streamers, it'll be on us. The top streamers only account for less than 3% of the movies and shows made since 1950. So there's a huge universe, or Cineverse as we like to call it, of content out there globally that just is impossible to find. So our mission is to make that as easy to find as Google or Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that your organization might be in the hunt for some of the programs that have been dropped, even though they've been produced by the likes of AMC networks like Invitation to a Bonfire, or, for example, Warner Brothers Discovery with the last season of Snowpiercer that was supposed to run on TNT this spring? Would be fair to say you're in the hunt for, let's say, these kind of shows?
You know, right now our priority is focused on those types of shows, but on an international basis. So we are looking at shows that have great international following, but don't really have good opportunities in North America that fit in the enthusiast verticals we're in, like horror, like family, sci-fi, and others. So we will be bringing new and original exclusive series. We're still probably too small to chase some of these very, very large budgeted shows, but we think down the road we may be a good home for those. And we are actually, evaluating on properties that, maybe on the unscripted side and some other things that could be a good fit for us that have left networks.
Mm-hmm. More than a year ago, you announced a deal with Laurie Ann Gibson, the famous dancer and choreographer, to do a channel called BOP, an all-dance channel. And by the way, dance is still one of the very few subjects that has never had a single programming service all of its own. What is the status of that project?
That's a great question. So we are really deep in working in development on it. You know, I think we're, you know, one of the factors that obviously delayed things is, you know, as the economy got a little bit worse in terms of capital raising and fundraising and very expensive, you know, we really focused internally to build out the product and project plan. We're out there back in the market. So we expect to be bringing this out later this year, but we, you know, we obviously had to spend some more time and rethink on how we were going to approach the market. So I think we have a great plan to tackle that project now, and it's going to be one that I think we'll be very excited to bring to consumers, because you're right, there isn't a dedicated platform to that market today.
Griffin, what else is in Roundtable's pipeline beyond getting the GoPro channel up and running?
That's a great question. We have three different divisions here. Our scripted division is really focusing and narrowing down on a couple of great horror films that our leader of production, John Baldecki. We have a film called Mom and several other ones in the hopper that we're looking towards bringing out. Our unscripted head, a gentleman named Alex Dundas, is working on a show with Gavin Rossdale called Eat. It's going to be an unscripted piece in the dining and music space. And he's working with another show with talent, Caitlin Briscoe, called Off the Vine, which is going to be a women's show based on wine, drinking, consumption, and travel. We're terribly excited about those in the scripted and unscripted side. On my side, where I work on Fast Channels and Sponsor Back, we're focusing in on a news network, an entertainment news network, and two or three other different branded channels that we're in negotiation for and we're in development of. On the Sponsor Back side, I'm making shows and have entered in contracts with the Kentucky Derby. I've entered into another contract with the Bourbon Trail, where we'll do a travel show going down the Bourbon Trail and visiting the distilleries there. And we just heard back from Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame, and we're going to be working on some unscripted projects for the Hall of Fame way up in New York. So I'll make sure that Eric can go by and visit since he's already in Rochester.
Yeah. Are any of the scripted horror movies, could any of them become a television series at some point?
You know, we look at ourselves as an IP accelerator. Any one of those horror films could move into a television piece. We're trying to work with a famous family in the horror space right now that might start as an unscripted and then move into a horror piece. I can't give the name out just yet because the contracts haven't been signed yet, although the negotiation development's been done. But we look for content to go from scripted to unscripted, and we also look at it to build out podcasts as well. So we like to take a great piece of IP through three or four different opportunities for development and revenue.
Mm-hmm. Eric, your organization, as like I said, has become a channel empire with everything from the Dove Channel, Bob Ross, the Elvis Presley Channel you launched last year, Bloody Disgusting, Cineverse, et cetera, et cetera. And you're trying to build up the ad base for these services. Any chance that we might see your organization do an upfront or a new front event here in New York this spring?
You know, we're looking at that very closely. I think we will likely be doing a presentation, whether it's part of the official new front lineup or we have a sort of ancillary, you know, adjacent presentation for advertisers during the same time frame. We're still deciding, but we will be at the OTT X Front in Los Angeles for sure in May, which is a kind of a West Coast centric version of that. So very likely we will be doing that this year.
Mm-hmm. And we will keep you posted about the launch of the GoPro channel. Looks like from what you heard today, that's going to be between mid-year and end of the year with Cinedigm as well as Roundtable Entertainment working with GoPro. We'll keep you posted, and once we get closer to launch date, we will invite Cinedigm and Roundtable to come back on the program, and we will invite GoPro as well. They were invited, by the way, to be on this segment. For some reason, it didn't happen, but we will invite them to come on, the management to come on, when we do this again next, and we certainly will. In the meantime, if you want to know more about both organizations and their work with GoPro Channel, here's where you go online. For Cinedigm, it's Cinedigm, that's CINEDIGM.com, Cinedigm.com. And for Roundtable Entertainment, it's www.roundent.com. That's www.roundtable-ent.com. And, of course, we will keep you posted on their other projects from each organization as well. Eric Opeka, Griffin Gamelay, thank you both very much for coming on and making this happen. Good luck with getting the GoPro channel off the ground as well as your other projects. And you are always welcome back anytime. It's been a super pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Eric and Griffin. Take care. Have a super week ahead.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Eric Opeka, the President and Chief Strategy Officer for Cinedigm, joining us live from Rochester, New York, and Griffin Gamelick from Roundtable Entertainment, joining us live from Redwood, California. When we come back, classic trivia question of the week, but first, something I'd like to see. Game show contestants who lose, particularly on primetime game shows, get rewarded in some manner. Remember those parting gifts of years ago? It's time to bring them back in a modern fashion. I'll explain after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Use the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Women Who Jam Radio. It's one of BTR's top Monday attractions, and it's happening today at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Women Who Jam Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon, next to last day of January 2023. Simon Alpha, I'm with you live from New Haven, York. Right now, 51 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Still love to hear from you about our topics and what you thought about the upcoming GoPro channel. So give us a call, 646-522-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. We're looking for our fourth winner of the year and our fourth winner in 5 weeks. And it could be you. So get your thinking caps ready. The question coming up in a few minutes. But first, we're bringing back a feature we started about more than a month ago called Something I'd Like to See, a little personal reflection, if you will, about something I'd like to see the TV medium do, particularly if it hasn't done it already. And today, here's the something I'd like to see. Game show contestants who lose get rewarded in some manner, especially on primetime game shows. Of all the genres of television that I've grown up on, game shows are my favorite. There is nothing like them. There is nothing like watching a show, which is the closest thing to live television, where anybody, picked from anywhere, can get their 15 seconds of fame and win cash, prizes, and in many cases have their lives transformed for the greater. I grew up in the 1960s and 70s on game shows. I mean, every day I would watch Play Your Hunch, Jeopardy, Word for Word, The Who, What, or Where game, Password, The Match Game, Concentration, all the great classics of the 60s and 70s. In the 70s, I watched The Joker's Wild in the Morning and The New Price is Right and Gambit. Or in the early 60s, I'd watch Seven Keys on ABC and Camouflage. Wonderful games that lasted a few years, should have lasted longer. They were marvelous. They really transformed lives. And the hosts were great, Bill Cullen and Jack Nars and Art Fleming and Merv Griffin and Bob Barker and so many, and Alan Ludd and so many, many more. And one thing with all those game shows, whether they were daytime or early evening between 6 to 8 p.m. and sometimes in prime time, with panel shows like To Tell the Truth or I've Got a Secret, the contestants, when they played and they lost, they still won something. They got parting gifts. They got the year's supply of turtle wax or the year's supply of Rice-A-Roni or Sarah Coventry jewelry or a weekend stay at a hotel in Palm Springs or Los Angeles. They won something. It was worth their while. Even if they screwed up, it was worth their while to be on. They felt respected. They felt respected by the producers. They felt respected by the host. If you lost a password, you still got $50, or on some editions of the daytime or primetime edition, the World Book Encyclopedia. And you made a contribution to kids all over the country in terms of their word power. It was a great time. And it really meant something to be a game show contestant. Whether you won or lost, you felt good. You felt good about being on. You felt good that you earned something. You earned some sort of respect. Even if you screwed up, you earned some level of respect with the American public. Well, that's not the case right now with most game shows, particularly the primetime game shows that have come on over the last few years. You notice how in many of these primetime game shows, if you lose, you go home with nothing. No parting gifts. No, just, well, you lost. You go away with nothing. Did you have a great time? You know, I've been watching Lingo lately on CBS. I love Lingo. I love the show. I loved it, you know, when it was on GSN in its various formats. I think RuPaul did a great job as a host. And, boy, it really sucks the air out when we've had episodes where a pair of contestants has been leading the entire time, and then the last word or two, bang, the other contestants get in. How would you feel if you were, like, in that boat and you're going home with nothing? No parting gifts, no nothing, no like $500 or $1,000 for playing the game. You know, what's going on here? It comes across that, number one, the producers are stingy. And number two, that it raises credibility about the show. You wish that more game shows would take the formula of Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. Think about it. When you watch Wheel of Fortune, everybody wins. If you lose, if you've built up money, it could be as much as like $10,000, $15,000, you still get the money. You still keep it. You get the prizes that you've won, the trips you've won. And if the wheel gave you bankrupts and lose the turns all over the place in the half hour, you still win $1,000. If you're on Jeopardy, to their credit, it used to be that in the original Jeopardy, hosted by Art Fleming, that ran over a decade on NBC, you won any money you won. Even if you lost the game. And in the initial version of Jeopardy, the syndicated version with Alex Trebek, if you lost, you didn't keep the money. You basically won. Now, if you lose at Jeopardy, if you're in second place, you win $2,000 and $1,000 for third place. If you're in a tournament, of course, the money is higher. And you win something. That's the key. You win something. You feel respected by the producers and by the hosts. It was worth it to be picked to be on that show. That's not the case with Press Your Luck. That's not the case with Lingo. That's not the case with other primetime game shows. And even with some game shows like Pictionary or 25 Words or Less, or America Says, you win nothing. What goes on here? By the way, I want to ask Clive Keller, ask Dave Nall, who will be on our show tomorrow, about this. Because America Says is a little guilty about this, that the losing team gets nothing, not even a parting gift. What is wrong with giving the losing contestants something? And if you want to modernize the parting gift idea, how about this? 3 months of Uber rides for free, 3 months of Grubhub service, 3 months of DoorDash service, 3 months of, HelloFresh, People Puzzler, for example. If you lose, particularly in the first round, second round, if you're out of the game, you win a year's subscription to People Magazine. Great. Why not give away a new World Book Encyclopedia or Encyclopedia Britannica? So when it comes to something I'd like to see, it's very simple. Contestants who lose game shows get something to take home. It could be cash. It could be free Uber rides, could be a year subscription to a magazine, the latest edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, something. Don't let them leave with nothing. Let them leave with something. You know, follow the formula of the folks who do Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Even The Price is Right. The contestants who don't appear on stage, they at least win something. For at least the opportunity to be picked on stage. And, of course, the contestants that get on the stage, if they don't win the pricing game, they don't win the showcase, they still get the one bid item. So, come on, everybody else in the game show world. Stop being stingy. I get that it's tough to have the parting gifts with the credit roll because of the fact that game shows, in terms of the actual time of the game show, is shortened because of all those commercial breaks and the commercials in each break. That's a whole other story. Give the contestants something. Don't let them leave empty-handed in any fashion. Give them something. Make it worth the while that they feel that it was worth it to be on the show, even if they have the indignity of losing at the last minute because somebody came up luck with the correct answer, as has been the case on a number of the Lingo episodes so far. Let's go. You know, give them something to work with, and that would really be great. And that's something I'd like to see. Love to hear what you think. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or give us a call right now, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And yes, I will ask Dave Null about this when he comes on the show tomorrow. Now, time for our classic trivia question of the week. Our second and final week that we're offering this question, we're going for our fourth winner of the year, fourth winner in 5 weeks, and you could be it. And if you are the first person emailing the correct answer, you will win the new book, 7 Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by Roland Perez. He is one of the co-hosts of America's Health Journal, which is on PBS. It's also a 24/7 channel on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. Here's the question. 77 Sunset Strip was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s first live-action TV series as star or co-star. What was his last? 77 Sunset Strip was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s first live-action television series as star or co-star. What was his last? Couple of hints. It was a reboot of a very popular action-adventure series from Walt Disney in the late 1950s. Second, it was not on a broadcast network. And third, he was on for the first season only. So those are 3 hints for the answer. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon WBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. And remember, it's got to be emailed. And first emailed correct answer wins. If you're a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. So, however, people you know are eligible. So get them involved. Who knows? They might win. Again, the question, 77 Sunset Strip was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s first live-action television series as star or co-star. What was his last? Answer it by email. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember, in order to win, be in and win. Do so today, immediately. And you never know, of course, all the very best. That will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thank you to our two wonderful guests, Eric Opeka, the President and Chief Strategy Officer of Citadine, and Griffin Gimelick, who is the Roundtable Entertainment co-founder. They're both working on the upcoming GoPro channel. As you heard on today's program, it will probably happen between mid-year and end of the year. We will keep you posted about when it launches, and closer to launch, we will invite both Eric and Griffin to be back on the program, and we will invite GoPro management to join them for that segment. And we'll also keep you posted on the other projects that Cinedigm and Roundtable are working on. Tomorrow on our program, second of 3 episodes that definitely will happen this week, we will feature the co-founder and owner of Keller Nahl, the folks behind Chopped, on Food Network America Says, which is on tonight, by the way, 7:30 Eastern and Pacific Time on GSN. Dave Nahl will join us, and the Chief Creative Officer of Wrigley Media Group, the folks in Kentucky behind the fast-rising courtroom series and daytime syndication Relative Justice, Ross Babbitt. They're working on a new collaborative project to produce more original programming out of Kentucky and specifically out of new studios that Wrigley is building. We'll get all the details, and we'll find out what else these two folks are working on separately. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we also hope to tell you tomorrow whether we will have a special edition, a late morning edition, Eastern time, breakfast time on the West Coast, with a very special guest. So we'll let you know if that happens. And we'll definitely have a regular episode for you at this regular time on Friday to help kick off February 2023. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, and we've had a lot of great episodes so far this month, including wonderful interviews with people like Annabeth Gish, the co-star of Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches on AMC Network, plus the executive producer of Vikings Valhalla, the executive producers of Hallmark Channel's The Way Home, which, by the way, is growing its audience with its third episode last night. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also go to our webpage, tomorrowwilbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwilbetelevised.onpodium.com. Remember, down at the bottom of the page is our question box. If you have a question about the world of television, question about yours truly's thoughts on the medium, or about our guests, put it down there. If we get it and use it on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. So make sure you enclose your name and where you're from in that question box facility at the bottom of the home screen of tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. And we're also available 24/7 on podcasts, whether it's Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, etc. We're there 24/7. So check out our episodes from the past as well as present right there. They're available 24/7. As always, we love hearing from you. What's new about our episode today about the GoPro channel? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We love hearing from you, and we do respond. So, again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, we have a special feature. We'll do it, by the way, tomorrow. The show to know, is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, we want to give it that attention, and we have to hear from you. So email me, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit. And we will do a show to know segment on tomorrow's episode. And, of course, you can also find me at social media, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. However you respond to me, I respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Soderberg is head of content. Website services are provided by On Podium, the internet's big new podcast outpost. Guitar Fakus is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. We will certainly be back here tomorrow, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcasts and website affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and certainly make it great, the best it can be for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.